Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lesson from CEDH. CEDH is a metagame within the Commander format that sits at one extreme with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. Not all cards are equally powerful in all formats, or even in all metagames, but there are lessons to be learned from how players are using some of the most powerful cards in Magic's history. And today, we're going to talk about being responsible with your removal. Because there are definitely times when you remove something a little too soon, and you wind up paying the price for it when someone else uses the opening you just created to try to go for it. Or when you realize you blew all of your best answers early and now you're at the mercy of the person who landed a Blightsteel and praying to the top deck gods to save your life. Before we get started with the episode proper, just wanted to thank you once again for joining us this week. If you're enjoying this or any of our other content, don't forget to give a like, subscribe, comment on whatever your usual platform for viewing or listening to or otherwise consuming these episodes are. It's a free way that really helps out the channel a lot. Now, without further ado, let's get started by trying to describe what is responsible removal. CEDH, as we've already said, is a metagame which is defined by powerful win conditions with a very short clock, often less than one turn. And sometimes, all you really need is that moment, that one turn without an opponent's collector oof or rest in peace and play to be able to go for it. But if that's true for you, it may also be true for one or more of your other opponents. Let's take a really simple example where you are player 1, you're on a deck which is trying to win with Thoracle Consult, and you want to get rid of player 4's Rule of Law so you can win the game. So at the end of player 4's turn, you Nature's Claim the Rule of Law, and on your turn, you go to Chaos Thassa's Oracle, only to get your Demonic Consultation Mental Misstep. Now player 2, who's been waiting for their opportunity, untaps and proceeds to Thoracle Consult successfully thanks to you removing that Rule of Law. Turbo players like to say that the early bird gets the worm. Well, mid-range players like to say that the second mouse gets the cheese. If this sounds familiar, it's because we've talked about it before in our episode about how to stacks responsibly. Usually, the stacks piece which is hampering you is also hampering someone else, possibly more than it's affecting you. Learning to recognize this is a big level-up moment in a multiplayer game like Commander, because sometimes the Rule of Law which slows you down just a little bit is crippling your other opponents, and it almost feels like another player just spent a card from their hand and 3 mana to dunk on 2 of your opponents for you. The philosophy of responsible removal seeks to maintain certain cards on the battlefield for as long as possible so you can maximize their impact on other players for as long as possible, and to avoid spending cards from your hand until it's the most beneficial time for you to spend that card. To use other parlance from CEDH, you might consider this to be respectful removal or cautious removal. You respect the fact that your opponents might be able to win the moment you remove the stacks piece which was holding you back. And you also want to be sure to conserve your removal for when you really need it. The Swords to Plowshares you used to get rid of someone's early mana dork may have been better served against that Consecrated Sphinx they resolved a few turns later, for instance. Most of what you want to consider when considering whether a piece of removal is being used responsibly or not can boil down to just having good habits in gameplay. When considering whether or not to remove a card in play, ask yourself this. When you're going to remove that card, are you going to be the one who benefits most from that card being gone? And honestly, this really comes down to what stage of the game you're in, as well as what sort of target you're looking to remove. I consider there to be 3 basic categories of permanence in a game of Commander, which players will usually look to remove. Stacks pieces like Collector Oof, Rule of Law, or Grafdigger's Cage, cards which provide a static effect that change the rules of the game in such a way that it prevents someone from executing on their game plan. Threats that pressure life totals, or otherwise make it more likely that you're going to lose. Serra Ascendant beating in for 6 every turn. Beastmaster Ascension in a go-wide tokens deck. Or Bruvac the Grandiloquent when its controller just tutored up a Traumatize. And finally, advantage engines which will grant their controller an overwhelming advantage as the game goes on. Your Esper Sentinels, your Consecrated Sphinxes, and your Seedborn Muses. Now let's begin breaking down how to approach removing each of these different types of cards in each stage of the game. And why don't we start with getting ready? In this early part of the game, you're probably still just playing lands and ramp spells. This stage of the game is most impacted by stacks pieces which counteract common forms of ramp. Cursed Totem to turn off activated abilities on mana dorks, Stony Silence to turn off activated abilities on mana rocks, and Root Maze to turn fetch lands into slow lands. There are also some early threats which do demand your attention. Sarah Ascendant, for example, is a classic beater when it comes down on turn 1. And finally, you can see early advantage engines like Rhystic Study or Esper Sentinel or Mystic Remora represent an absolutely game-warping amount of card advantage for its controller. In these cases, you may inadvertently give another opponent an advantage by spending your removal to get rid of an early stacks piece or threat, and that might let them scoot ahead into the all setup stage of the game before anyone else. But leaving that stacks piece or threat in play often means that the controller of that card is in the best position to control how or when players will progress to the next stage of the game. So it's wrong to say that there's no impact on how or when you choose to interact with these pieces. But the impact is felt less at this stage than it will be at the other stages. Do you let the Esper Sentinel's controller draw an extra card on 3 turns? Or do you let them draw 1 and destroy the Sentinel the first chance you get? It does mean your other 2 opponents won't have to worry about paying the 1 on their first non-creature spell each turn, and they can do so without being down a card. So they do get slightly more benefit from you, but the massive benefit is denied to the Sentinel's controller. There are probably going to be lots of turns to make up for the small advantage you handed your other 2 opponents. You probably want to preferentially target value engines first, since those can tend to compound over the course of a longer game. Stacks pieces would be second most important, and most threats at this stage of the game are not game-ending, so these are probably your lowest priority targets. However, remember that a piece of removal spent in this stage of the game is also a piece of removal that's gone for the rest of the game. So your threshold for spending removal at this point should be pretty high. It should represent a major potential threat, advantage engine, or stacks piece, and not necessarily something that's mild. You may feel kind of bad if you spent a Force of Will and pitched a Gilded Drake to stop someone's Mystic Remora, for example, but there are more specialized answers to that, such as good old-fashioned Mental Misstep, which seems just fine to use in that case. In fact, why don't you tell me, what is your favorite card to Mental Misstep on an opponent's turn 1? Let us know in the comments on YouTube. Once you get to the all setup stage of the game, the stacks pieces that really hurt are probably the ones that directly impact on your deck's core strategy, such as a Rest in Peace coming into play while you're on a Marin of Clan Nel'thoth deck. Marin without access to graveyards is a pretty sad panda, but there are also pieces like Rule of Law, which will serve to slow down the whole table. Again, ask yourself who benefits most from the piece you're considering removing. Usually the player who casts the piece will benefit the most from having it, but sometimes you just know that the Sarah Ascendant will be attacking the player with black in their deck because they're going to be on ad nauseum, so letting the Ascendant's controller pad their life total and weaken the Nauz player is correct. If the piece is giving one player a big, lopsided advantage, again, consider removing it. If it slows everyone down, but especially one or more of your opponents more than it does you, consider leaving it. Someone just spent mana and played a card that helped you and didn't cost you any mana or a card from your hand. It's still important to prioritize removing value engines at this stage of the game, but there will also be times when your opponents will be far enough ahead that they try to put you on the clock with a major threat and go for it before you're ready. And these tend to be the biggest must-answer threats in the game. On the other hand, removing a stacks piece like Rule of Law might also remove the only thing stopping another player from going for it. So when considering what to remove, once again, value engines are probably pretty important to consider, but also look at the clock which threats on the table might put you on, and especially what kind of counterplay you have to those threats. Stacks pieces which directly and severely hamper you, particularly if they leave you so far behind your opponents that you're basically in the getting ready stage of the game compared to them, these are probably good targets as well, but stacks effects which are more symmetrical to the whole table should probably be left in place for as long as it's feasible. Finally, when your game plan is coming together and it's time to try to actually win the game, when you're going for it, your priorities for what to remove shift pretty radically. An opponent's threat, even a really powerful beater like Blightsteel Colossus, can't knock you out of the game if the Colossus controller has already been eliminated. And it probably doesn't matter how many cards Rhystic Study's controller drew if they're never going to get another untap step. Your priority during this stage of the game is removing the stacks piece or pieces which are stopping you from winning. Seems obvious, right? If you want to win with Thassa's Oracle into Demonic Consultation, just remove the Rule of Law. And this is generally the right heuristic to follow. But particularly in CDH, you should be aware of any opponents who can win at instant speed on top of your win attempt. Before the banning of Flash, there were absolutely Protean Hulk decks which could win at instant speed. And there are still other decks, such as the build of Magda Brazen Outlaw, which won at Marquesa 2022, where the pilot Koibito literally comboed off at instant speed as soon as an opponent removed the suppression field, which was preventing both decks from comboing off. And since Magda could win at instant speed, well, they got there first. At the same time, if you're going to go for it, you don't get to take the cards you have left over in hand to the next game. It's now or never. So as opposed to other stages of the game, this is generally when the expenditure of resources from hand, spending your removal spells or your protection, it's usually the least detrimental to your long-term plans. And that is the basic philosophy of responsible removal. Tell me what you think. Tell me how you approach removal. You might consider this a little bit of an update on our older episode on threat assessment. Let us know what you thought. You can tell us in the comments on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. You can add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMDG. Or you can send us an email, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.